Welcome back to What's Going On in the World of HR. Today I'll be talking about changing careers and starting your HR career with Julie Cook and Marco Van Dyke and Natalie. So my first question, for anyone who's considering a career change, what are the perks of working in HR? Hi, Marco.
I think HR is quite broad in what it offers to people, in that there's quite a lot there, different roles, but also quite a big scope for progression. So you could start in administration and then work your way up into various other more senior roles. So become a business partner, potentially become a head of a department of sorts, but you could also specialize. So you could go into very specific focus areas and then become specialist in those areas, such as we're thinking recruitment selection, learning and development, employment law, and so on. So I think it's quite broad and it gives you lots of opportunities potentially to get into.
Perfect. Thanks, Marco. What about you, Julie? Have you got any thoughts?
Yes, I agree with what Marco said, but I think one of the other perks for me is you can work in pretty well any sector of the economy and different locations. And certainly that's been my experience, as well as having different seniorities and different specialisms like L&D or recruitment. You can choose a different economic sector. And I think in the current climate, that's fairly important, because obviously some sectors have been massively badly hit compared with others, which are doing quite well. So I think that's another plus for me about working in HR.
And I agree, actually, what Julie says there, because I think there's a lot about HR that is, it's all about people. It's a people process. It's very much, I guess, creating the processes, facilitating a lot of those and supporting people in other processes. And that's not something that's unique to one individual sector. There's many different sectors that require that kind of support. So as Julie said, it's much easier to transition between different sectors. And there's been interesting studies. Sage actually did a study last year that actually highlighted the fact that HR is becoming more people than they ever were before. And we've kind of realized that people is the make or break of the business. So it actually focuses more on people as the key focus point there. And as Julie said, that isn't just in a specific industry or sector. I've moved from hospitality myself, and currently I'm seeing a lot of people in hospitality that is struggling, because a lot of businesses have significantly shrunk their facility. And of course, they are all people. People persons in hospitality, and therefore it's easier for them to transition into a role like HR, because they understand the people processes much more. So Julie's very right there, that it doesn't just lock you into a specific industry.
Okay, just to say, I totally agree with everything Marco is saying. And I mean, I know my background before I went into HR, I was managed an office team and in a big organization, and then managed a recruitment office in a small organization, and both gave me really good experiences for getting into my first HR role.
Perfect. Thanks for that, Marco and Julie. And it links in quite well to my next question. For people who are having to consider different careers for whatever reason, please can you speak a little bit as to what skills tend to be transferable to roles in HR?
There's lots of different skills that quite often businesses will focus in the first instance on technical skills and then start thinking about what we refer to as the soft skills or the more transferable skills. But it's increasingly becoming more of a focus that we do look at the soft skills and trying to build more transferable skills. And from that same study that I mentioned earlier, they did find that the biggest skills gap at the moment is tech. So the technological skill sets that people need. But then second to that, they are actually raising one that I thought was quite interesting, which is creativity, behaviors. And of course, then some of the key things that we all know is essential is things like communication skills, delegation potentially. So those are increasingly being focused on when we try to develop people, and we don't assume them as a given, because I think quite often we just expect managers to be good at being assertive or being able to delegate or being able to develop other people. So there's a lot of things in there that it's not as easy to define, and therefore we spend less time on trying to develop people.
Yes, I think agree with all of that. And I think one of the other things that's important is being able to see the big picture in an organisation, to be able to think strategically about where that organisation is going and how the people function gets the organisation where it wants to be, and getting the best out of everybody. So I think that's been particularly important, and particularly being a bit caring about people as well as particularly become important this year, I think, and trying to be a bit more better at two-way communication, and also at looking at other people's perspectives and caring for them to help them help you.
Thanks for that, Julie. Would you say that compassion is quite a sort of key skill to work in HR? Because Marco, you spoke about soft skills, and I was just wondering if you could speak in a little bit more detail as to what those examples as to what those soft skills are.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of skills that some people naturally take to and others need to put some effort into developing. And there's some that, as you just become more experienced in certain areas, you kind of pick up on these. Empathy, for example, it's one of those things that we don't necessarily look at. Can I train someone on being empathetic? But it is one of those things that's quite useful if you're in a people support role, whether you are a manager that have a team or whether you are in an HR function that have to support people in different kind of contexts. It is a key thing we need to be thinking about. And those are, so that's one of the soft skills that doesn't spring to mind as something that I'm going to go and develop within people necessarily. But it is something that's quite crucial to have. You need to kind of understand people. You need to be able to kind of relate to what they may be going through in certain circumstances so that you are able to support them more effectively. And I think that's where the HR role, I guess, to link into what I said earlier, is significantly changing. So in terms of the skill sets that we now expect from HR, they are shifting. A decade or two ago, a couple of generations ago, it was very much an administrative function. And now we are realizing increasingly so that HR is very much supporting the backbone of the business, which is the people. So it isn't just teaching technical skills. People need to understand that there's other very subtle elements that they need to know about, and they need to be able to develop them to actually do a good job. Body language is in there, and simple elements like that. There's a couple of nice areas on the CIPD profession map as well that link quite nicely into those soft skills. So there is different things like just generally valuing people, understanding people are people. They're not a process. They're not a number. They're not just another piece of a system. Situational decision making is in there. Working inclusively and being ready to get people to engage with each other. So there's quite a lot there that is very hard to define, but crucial when we're going to support people.
We mentioned compassion early on, and unfortunately in HR, particularly probably in recent months, HR have to make sometimes quite unpleasant decisions. And I think it's being able to do that in the best possible way, but also realising, unfortunately, that sometimes what's necessary for the survival of a business in difficult times, that sometimes you do have to reduce headcount. And that is, you know, maybe feels quite tragic, but you have to be able to cope with that emotionally, I think, to work in HR.
Okay, thanks, Marco and Julie. And for my next question, I just want to, for people who are looking to work in HR, do you need a Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development or CIPD qualification?
Well, it's absolutely a fantastic way to get started. So, for example, if you're thinking about moving into HR, apart from anything else, to get to know more about it by doing the course, but also being able to show you're committed to a career in HR and you want to do it as well as you possibly can and have the best knowledge. So I think it is definitely something to consider and try and prioritise. And had some useful conversations in recent weeks with students that have studied with us and gone on to their first HR roles at all the different levels, and also one who was specialised, who dreamt about getting into learning and development, got into that on the back of one of our qualifications. Another got her first as a new graduate, used us in an unrelated degree, used us to get into her first HR role. And we also had somebody who, while she was on maternity leave after a long career in PR, decided to retain into HR. And she said one of the reasons she did the qualifications was to be absolutely sure it was right for her. And she's now got offered a rather good HR job with a global company. So definitely it helps. And it's just about getting the right level for you. And that's one of the things the Acacia Course Advisor team can make sure you get you onto the right level, right specialisms, and the right size of qualification to suit your circumstances, timeframes, how deep your pocket is, etc.
I realised what Julie's just been mentioning about, and it really makes a big difference. I realised the value of a qualification like this when I started moving out of previously hospitality into more learning development and HR, because I've been working with a lot of people, dealing with a lot of issues, trying to resolve a lot of situations just to kind of make the business work. And it's only really when I started looking into the CIPD course and the content and all the different topics that it suddenly started to all make sense. And I realized, oh, the penny is now dropping. I get why certain things only work when you do certain things. And when certain things apply in a certain way, it won't really give you a certain result. And it's only when I started getting the qualification and the knowledge of the different ideas behind it that it all started to make sense to me. And I think if I had a qualification like this when I started managing businesses now some time ago, it would have made all the difference. I think I would have improved and performed much better as an individual managing other people and supporting other people if I had it at the time. So there's definitely a lot to be said for doing something like this, because it gives you that underpinning base that you need to really just kind of understand how these different concepts relate to each other.
I just was going to say one of the other things about doing the qualification with a company like Acacia is the interaction and the networking you get. And it's not like perhaps a college where you get the same tutor all year. You get different tutors with different who've got HR experiences from different aspects of HR, different industries, etc. And the ongoing networking for whether it's a face-to-face or live online, the way we run them, the roll on, roll off, means that you maximise your networking opportunities. And very flexibly, one of the students I was talking to recently had done the course in 3 months by fast tracking. And so we're very flexible about the speed, but also the networking. And I've met people well into their HR careers, 20 years into their HR careers, who still network with the people they met when they did their qualification. So it's a fantastic opportunity. And networking is so important in HR, finding out how everybody else has been dealing with different issues and something that's new for your organisation. Some other people in the network will have had plenty of experience of implementing it. Really helpful, really helpful.
I agree, Julie. I've actually been talking to some of the students that I've been seeing on the course in many of the different levels. And one jokingly even said, if I get nothing else out of this but all the networking, I've already made my money back. And I thought that was quite funny, but it is a very, very powerful thing. And I think we need to understand that there is probably no better way to get a group of like-minded people together than going onto one of these courses. And then people start their own groups. And before you know it, they have their own support networks outside of their workplace that can really help them when they have a particular question or issue. And hopefully we've got someone in the room that's going to also give us some insight into what their views was on this as well. So definitely worthwhile doing it, even if it's just that in there. Of course, there's all the other benefits, but it's really, really good for networking.
That's a great point, Marco. I found myself looking for a job for a couple of years, and I would have killed to have a great sort of marketplace to get, you know, to talk to people who work in HR for all these different companies, because, you know, that's where the influence is for hiring. So yes, I think networking could be invaluable for an individual's career. And one question that I've got is, it's quite clear as to what the benefits would be for an individual doing a qualification to the company, but what about the benefits for an individual? Do you think it would make them more employable having a CIPD qualification? What's the direct benefit for the individual who's got this qualification, outside of the fact that they'll be able to improve the company that they're working for? But will the individual have something to take away from that?
I think generally the feedback I get from ex-learners that I've still got in contact with It is one of those things that's almost become an expectation when you go for an interview. If you are going for an interview within the areas of HR, learning and development, or any other people support processes, generally the question pops up, have you got a CIPD qualification or something similar, or are you going to be working towards it?
I would just like to reinforce that point, really. When I was transitioning from retail into HR, I found that my applications for jobs were just not being considered because the job description was asking for CIPD qualification. And I found that as soon as I had on my CV that I was studying for my CIPD, doors started opening for me. So I just think there's so much value from obtaining that qualification and continuing on through the levels.
Thanks for that, Natalie. Thanks for that. And that's perfect, because I'm about to ask you some questions as to how you found your experience, both with vocational learning and HR in general. My first question. So, Natalie, you've obviously relatively recently made the change to move into a career in HR. Can you please tell us a bit about what you did beforehand and what made you consider a shift into HR?
Yeah, sure. So I was in a previous life a retail operations manager, and I was also at the same time a trade union representative. So before taking up the trade union rep role, I had a very limited knowledge of what HR was. My understanding was limited to HR do recruitment and they make the rules and then discipline people when they don't follow the rules. It was only when I undertook the role of trade union rep that I started to see, you know, employee relations cases and being involved in joint consultation meetings. I saw HR introducing people strategy and things like that. And I remember sitting in a management conference and watching the HR regional manager present the people strategy and getting us to engage with that strategy. And that was the moment that I realised I wanted to work in HR. It was that very moment just watching her, because I just wanted to be involved in shaping strategy from a people perspective and to be part of creating an environment for an engaged, you know, happy workforce where there's fair processes and people want to come to work and feel like they're valued. So that's what prompted me to move from retail to HR.
It's the empathy and compassion that we've spoken about before, yes. Isn't it, of course?
Yes,
exactly. Okay. And do you think that the qualification has kind of given you the tools? Does it give you the framework to try different things within HR? Do you feel supported with what you've learned on the qualification?
Yeah. So my roles so far in my HR career have been quite specialist. And I think the real value for me doing the qualification was getting that broad oversight of HR generally and helping. It helped me to think about issues more holistically rather than just being stuck in my specialism. And I think I'd like to reiterate some points that were made by Julie and Marco earlier, that the act of studying the qualification with Acacia and having that interaction with people that are in HR or fellow students that can discuss, you can discuss the issues, you can discuss the learning in more depth. The value of that to my career has just been phenomenal. I can't say the word.
I don't know if I can say either. Phenomenal. I'm glad to hear. So networking has been quite. It's been useful for you, has it? The networking aspect of the qualification.
It's been incredible, and it's also incredibly inspiring. It gives you that push to keep going and keep progressing and keep learning. So, yeah, my network has been fantastic.
Amazing. I'm so glad to hear that. And I guess my next question is, how did you find making the transition to a HR role?
So I have to admit that I did find it quite difficult initially. So coming from a retail role that I began when I was 16 years old, I didn't have a CV until I was 26 and I was looking for a HR role. So that in itself was quite a challenge to understand how to write a CV. And then on top of that, people were looking for the CIPD qualification and they were also looking for office experience. And I remember feeling quite frustrated because there were administrative elements to the management role that I held in retail. And I felt like they were very much overlooked because they weren't in the office environment. So it was quite difficult at first. But as I mentioned, I rolled on the CIPD level 3 and I changed my tactic a little bit. I decided that I was going to apply for an admin role, not specific to HR, just to gain the office experience. And I was very fortunate to land my role at King's College London. And it was an admin role. And then as I finished my CIPD level 3, an internal vacancy came up for the organisational development team in HR internally. So I applied for that and I was successful in that. So it was difficult at first, but I do think that the CIPD helped me to unlock some doors.
Perfect. And you mentioned that you were fortunate. Fortune favours the brave. I'm sure those doors wouldn't have opened if you weren't trying to get them open. So well done, you.
Thank you.
And that's all right. And my next question, sorry, please forgive me. Can I ask, were there any sort of obvious skills? So there were some obvious skills from what you're doing in the admin office role that were just transferred to HR quite.
Yeah, I think even going back to my retail role, there were transferable skills there that I was able to apply and I still use today. Now I'm kind of established in my HR career. Things like customer service. I mean, in HR, you engage with stakeholders regularly and you are expected to deliver a service. And it's understanding what is needed from you and delivering on that. And that's something that I learned in retail. And something else that I learned was to be able to think on your feet and to be flexible and adaptable in your approach. I mean, in retail and HR both, you're working with people and people are extremely unpredictable. Things happen out of the blue and it's unexpected and you need to react quickly and decisively in that moment. And that's something that I had to do regularly in retail and something that I still continue to do now in my case consultant role. I think there's just numerous skills that you can just transfer over so easily. And I just want to, it was mentioned before, but communication in retail, particularly as a manager, I learned the importance of effective communication, to communicate clear expectations, to actively listen, to clarify understanding of the team, and to demonstrate empathy. Communicating effectively has been useful in my career, especially in my role now as a case consultant dealing with employee relations matters.
I completely agree with the point that you made sometimes is that some people, a lot of professionals do HR functions, but there is no defined title for it. So I could see what you mean. Sometimes it's not obvious that skills are transferable, but I mean, being a strong communicator has got to be good in any business, surely, apart from silent movies. And how are you finding working in HR? And you can say if you feel you've made the biggest mistake of your life, please feel free to change your mind. But how are you finding it?
Absolutely not. I love working in HR. Every day I wake up and I'm happy to be at work. I feel like the work that I do is valuable. I feel that it adds to my workplace. I feel that I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly growing. I love it. It's the best move that I could have made.
Well, let me just jump in there as well, Chris. I think she makes a very good point. And it's not trying to kind of sugarcoat what HR is all about, because the fact is sometimes, as we are currently experiencing, you have to have some not so fun conversations and you have to have a shoulder for someone to cry on. And sometimes you have to have some really hard conversations with someone. But the buzz you get from getting someone on the other end of something and knowing you had a part to play in them succeeding in whatever they're doing is a real high. That is something that you cannot really tell people. They've got to experience that for themselves. So I'm very much on the same level with what Natalie's saying there. It is definitely, it is a great place to be in terms of people support processes with the not so fun parts as well. But it is definitely a satisfaction that you get from being in that role.
That sounds fantastic. Natalie truly is extremely happy. She's got a very big smile on her face when she's talking about HR. So I just thought I'd reiterate that for the purpose of the podcast. Is there anything else, Natta, that you'd like to add, I guess, from your perspective of someone who's climbing the HR ladder across different industries or whatever else you're doing? What takeaway would you give to someone starting out at the bottom, where it's quite an intimidating process?
It is intimidating. I think that HR has become incredibly popular with a lot of people trying to get into HR. What I would say is that resilience is so important. When you're getting those no's, it's just preparing you for the yes that's coming along. And just like I changed my tactic I took an admin role that wasn't specific to HR, and that's been incredibly valuable because I have insights now into my organisation that I would never have got if I hadn't had to take that little diversion. And that's been incredibly important in both my specialist HR roles. I would say that it gets easier once you get a foot in the door and you're making those networks and you're learning firsthand. It gets easier and progression seems to happen quite quickly. And you find some incredible people that inspire and motivate and support you in this career. Just keep going is what I'd say.
Okay. And how do you find that do you enjoy your work-life balance as well? We know you love HR already. How's your work-life balance in HR?
It's fantastic. I mean, I work 9 to 5 and I do work 9 to 5. With the current circumstances, I'm working from home, so my work-life balance is even better because there's no commute. But yeah, there's a fantastic work-life balance. I couldn't complain. I can't complain about work-life balance.
Perfect. Thank you. And Marco and Julie, at this stage, I open the floor for you to suggest intelligent questions to ask Natalie, because I think I've asked all the questions I'd like to ask.
I think Natalie's given us some really great answers, and I'm pleased you managed to get the work-life balance better than retail, eh?
Yeah.
So definitely some pluses there. I mean, I think one of the things with HR is that you can use it as a stepping stone into really senior management roles, because it's so much part of the strategy of the business nowadays, and you've got all those skills. You've now, at one time, you just had the soft skills, but if you're a senior HR person, you've got a budget to manage, you have to understand people analytics and data. You've got all the skills that you're going to need to move into a senior management role beyond HR. So the top roles are out there. And I personally think companies, if they're choosing an HR director to move into a managing director or a CEO role, that's not a bad decision. So the sky's the limit.
That's a great point, Julie, because people don't often consider ex-HR people for sort of the CEO roles or the COO roles, which is possibly slightly ludicrous given the importance of people to the running of a company. So,
yep, I agree with that. There's actually been one or two studies, or not studies, but articles on the lack of HR in the CEO role, for example, which is quite interesting because HR is that entity that kind of connects the dots, because you've got all the strategic decision makers sitting in the boardroom looking at the long-term plan, and you've got all the frontline staff serving your end user, your customer. And HR tends to be the one that get exposure to both. So they are able to connect strategic thinking to operational processes and understand where one fits into that. So you would expect to see more HR roles moving into the strategic boardroom, yet it's still not quite there yet, but it is definitely something that should be done, because they kind of connect the dots and it kind of makes sense that someone that understands the process from operations all the way through to strategy and back should be part of that conversation.
Definitely. It's going to be Natalie. Natalie's going to be the person who goes from HR direct to a CEO role. Mark my words, I can see it happening.
That's all from us. Thanks so much to Julie and Marco for joining. And thank you, Natalie, for telling us about how you changed careers and got into HR. See you again for the next episode of What's Going On in the World of HR?